And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can check them out on all social media platforms at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L, athletic singular, as well as their website at physicalathletics.com. And for those of you locally in the El Paso, Borderland region, you can also check them out at 2270 Joe Battle Boulevard. Our next guest joining us via the Sun City Academy hotline, she is a near and dear friend of mine, big fan of hers. Her and I go way back to many years where we coached against each other in the private sector, private high school scene here in Texas. She's now the head coach of a regional and state powerhouse here in Texas. I'm also proud to say, finally, you know, we're able to have a female coach join us. Very, very proud of that as well. And our first high school coach, following up our last episode, we have had our first club coach. So I'm proud to say our first high school coach, a colleague. I'm a big friend of hers, Coach Kara Walters. Kara, welcome, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's awesome. We're glad to have you. So we're going to dive right in. Going to go ahead and have at it and ask you some questions. So first one, please kind of tell us, expand a little bit on what it's been like leading a high school program during COVID, from March of 2020, not being able to complete the Texas high school play, not even really getting to start the Texas high school state playoffs, to now. What has that been like?
Well, I think similar to what everybody's experienced, it was pretty traumatic at the beginning. And my first concern in the spring when everything shut down was just my players and how they were responding to the situation. I had 12 seniors at the time. I mean, I had 11 basically starters that were ready to make a state run, and it was tough mentally. And so I felt like my role as a coach quickly shifted to trying to find a way to somehow support and help them through that. At the same time, of course, I'm going through the same, you know, like I can't believe this is happening. And so so that was tough. And then, you know, moving into this year, okay, things are going to be different. They're going to look different. And the focus for me was, you know, making sure that we're doing whatever we have to do to keep these players on the field. I think it's just so important for these athletes to have their sport and to be able to, you know, use that as a form of therapy, you know, as of sorts in this time where there's uncertainty and there's all this change and there's a lot of anxiety. I mean, we've seen that go through the roof with students. And so I feel like they really need it. So, you know, my response this year has just been like, whatever we have to do to keep them playing, let's do it. And I've just been really, really happy with the UIL and how they have really continued to find ways to keep moving forward. And I hope that they do that. They can continue to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been, as flexible as can be. And I think it's a lot of lessons learned from when the sports really kind of abruptly came to a halt everywhere, especially, you know, we're talking high school sports here in Texas with soccer, basketball, and then of course, spring sports, baseball, softball, and track in particular. They've a lot of lessons learned, and then even more lessons learned from this fall, right, with volleyball and football. So yeah, absolutely. What would you say is maybe you knew that there were going to be a whole lot of, it was going to look different, as you said, and you knew there was going to be all kinds of protocols implemented, safety measures, but what would you say was kind of the moment you had where it's like, oh my God, this is really real in terms of how drastic of a measure of a COVID protocol we're having to implement just to be able to play? Was there a moment or a, a protocol that was maybe issued that you all were going to have to implement where that hit you?
I don't know. I think that when I realized that just simply that we were as coaches going to have to coach with masks, I think that was a real struggle for me, because I feel like so much of our communication is our body language and our facial expressions. And, you know, I want my players to be able to see me when I'm talking to them. And so when, you know, we realized, okay, if we're going to move forward, we're going to have masks, I was just like, you know, how are we going to do this? And, you know, I was, of course, looking into everything that was clear, you know, and trying to find a way to be able to do that. And so that was the big, the biggest thing to me, I think, from a coaching perspective that makes it difficult, is not being able to have your players see you smile, or just those, you know, those little micro cues that they get through your facial expressions, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, and speaking for that personally, and speaking for my girls, my team, I know they love the fact that I have to wear a mask. So it cuts down on the amount of yelling, you know, the amount of yelling I'm doing. And then of course they don't believe that I smile. So problem solved there, problem averted there. So, so, you know, as you look at it, obviously the measures that are kind of in place right now, and hopefully, you know, the common phrase is light at the end of the tunnel. There's a vaccine on the horizon for, you know, the majority of the public. What do you see as we eventually transition out of this, right? Whether that be 3 months, 6 months, you know, 9 months, whatever the variation of the new normal may be, what do you see as the state of the high school game there locally in the San Antonio region, there in Bernie, you know, Bernie Champion, but also throughout the state of Texas?
I don't know. I think that at the club level, they'll probably push to kind of go back to things as much as normal as possible, as far as, you know, the traveling and that kind of thing. So I see that ramping back up again. And, you know, one of my concerns recently, I was thinking about how, you know, it disturbs me, the change at the end of the games, where we're not just high-fiving and just, you know, going and that sportsmanship aspect of it, where after the game you're like, hey, you know, good game, and you go eye to eye to your competitors. And, you know, it just disturbs me that, you know, now at the end of the games we kind of walk off and it's kind of like, all right, see ya, you know. And that is like, gets to me. And I feel like we need to, one, I feel like I as a coach need to find a way to be better to be able to, in this environment, acknowledge our competitor after the game and make sure there is that, hey, you know, that was a great game. But because we I don't want to lose that, you know, I mean, that's an important part of the game. And so I'm looking forward, though, I guess all that to say, at the end of all of this is going back to, you know, just being able to make that human contact after the game and make sure that we are doing things the right way.
Yeah. I mean, that's spot on. I think that, you know, it's an important part, especially of the high school game. In the high school game, the sportsmanship aspect, right? In terms of what we're preaching and what we're teaching to our student athletes. And excuse me, I think that, you know, locally here, what's being done here is essentially post-match, kind of both teams kind of come to the, I guess, opposite ends of the center circle and just kind of give each other an applause and wave and, you know, kind of yell out good game and then go about our business. So it's been a little comforting to see that at least teams are, I think teams, not just coaches, obviously, but I think now student athletes are recognizing the importance of that, you know, of that post-match, you know, that post-match, I guess, ceremonious, you know, tradition, you know, ceremonial tradition, I should say. So, you started hitting on it a little bit there when you mentioned club, but what are your thoughts on, you know, you coach, obviously you coach at a, you coach at a regional and a state power there at Bernie Champion. And obviously you have a lot of girls that are going to be, I mean, I don't know what the exact number is, but I know you're going to have a good percentage that are also club players. So as it, you know, as it relates to the high school game, what are your thoughts on being able to balance that between both the high school and the club game?
Well, we're really blessed in Bernie to have such a great grassroots soccer community. And we have just some phenomenal programs, local programs that are developing players the right way. And by the right way, I mean, they are just training them technically. They're training them in, you know, understanding the game, and just treating them right and treating the families right. And so the result of that is, you know, they are, by the time they get to high school, you know, we have these really developed players. And I know as a high school coach, I'm very aware of how much I am benefiting from that. And so that is an important relationship to maintain and to foster and to work together, you know, I think. And, you know, as the kids get older, sometimes they split off into different clubs and they may be training with different types of coaches or under different kinds of systems and stuff like that. And then my job is to kind of, you know, bring them all back together, right, and get everybody on the same page that we're going to be on. But I want to be able to supplement what they're doing, because I know what they're doing is supplementing what I'm doing, right? I've been in high school coaching at the high school level for about 12 years, and even in that short time, you know, the club has changed quite a bit. And it used to be that when, you know, players would come and train every day or every other day at the high school level, you could ask them to do whatever you wanted them to do. And you could have this progressive training plan or conditioning plan, and you could execute it and expect everybody to do everything that you asked them to. And there was really no question. Well, you know, and as time has gone on, the demands of these athletes on the weekends has increased. The demands during the week after our practices, when they're going to club practices, demands have increased. And so, we, you know, at the high school level, we've had to adjust. And I think if you're smart, you've adjusted, because, you know, we can't run these kids into the ground. So you have to recognize that. And so that's changed the high school. I feel like, at least for me, it changed my perspective on what I'm going to be doing with the kids in the preseason and what I'm going to do with them in the off season, right. Because I have to be cognizant of what's going on. And then you just, again, when you have kids with different clubs, you know, you may have one kid on a weekend who has a big showcase coming up on the weekend, and they know they're going to have to play in two or three games. And then you may have another kid who's also training with a different club, but they have nothing that weekend, you know. And so you can't have this, well, we're going to do leg day in the weight room and then do 300 yard shuttles and expect everybody to do that. So it becomes more like you've got to kind of case by case, you know, what's going to be best for each athlete. And that's a challenge, but I think it's worth, it's a challenge that is worth trying to overcome as a high school coach, because we want the best for our kids. We want to continue to have the benefit of all the training that they're getting outside of our programs. And so we shouldn't be trying to get in the way of that, you know. And there's always a push and pull, I think, sometimes, you know, because, right. You know, when it's high school season, we feel like, okay, it's high school season. So, you know, now we're trying to accomplish whatever we're doing for in our community. And, you know, you'll have a random showcase pop up or something where you've got kids that are going to be out of town and you're like, what, you know, why is this happening? But you know, like I said, but it's a challenge that is really worth working through, with your local clubs and other coaches, you know?
Yeah. Now this is correct. This, I know it's one or the other. This is year three or year four for you there?
This is year four.
Year four. Okay.
Fourth year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In that time frame, have you at all, or have you in the way that you would have liked, have you had the opportunity to really kind of do any type of community outreach with club, some of the club directors, club coaches there in the Burning community?
Yeah, actually, we do, like this coming week, we play Alamo Heights on Friday. And so Burning FC, used to be Burning Thunder, has their Burning FC night. And so they encourage all their kids to come out to the game. And then during halftime, they may put out some small goals and have the kids come out. We've had, you know, the kids,
that's awesome. That's awesome.
from their club come walk out, do the, when we were doing the walkout, you know, would walk out with our players, and our players loved it because they know what it's like to be, you know, those youth players and to be looking up at those high school players. And so that's been really neat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's we talked about post-match, ceremonial kind of traditions, but obviously that's a pre-match one that's very specific to soccer. And I know you remember from your days at Sachs, at San Antonio Christian, where we actually did that, right? That international walkout with the little ones. So that's awesome. Yeah. And kind of in speaking with that, from your time when, obviously you've been in the private, a coach and teacher in the private sector as well, in your time there at San Antonio Christian, where you also won a state title. So you've been able to experience very, very high level kind of regional and state power programs, both on the public side now and previously on the private side. What have you kind of, when you look back on it, now that you've been at Burning Champion for 4 years, you look back on it, what have you kind of learned, or what's your takeaways when you look at them, kind of, you know, not one is better than the other, but just compare and contrast. What have you kind of learned?
Oh, that's a tough one. You know, I think there's definitely a lot more demands on public school teachers in regards to the kind of number of trainings and professional development and things that we have to be doing, and benchmarks and testing and all of those kind of things. And so the amount of time you have to spend on your classroom stuff really does require a lot more time management.
Yes, I'm learning that now. I'm learning that now. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. And then I also, when I was at San Antonio Christian, I was coaching middle school PE. And so that required a little less time than teaching senior English, which is what I'm doing now at Champion. And so, you know, grading essays and trying to get all of that in, especially during soccer season is definitely, you know, it's a lot of off hours, a lot of work into the weekend and stuff to get it all done. So, you know, there's that. But other than that, you know, I think that I really kind of, I'm so blessed to be out in Burning and at Champion and I've been at other San Antonio school districts as well. And Burning is kind of the closest public school to a private environment that I've been in. And just, I guess, it may be because it's, you know, smaller town.
That's so interesting. Just, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it was a good transition coming from San Antonio Christian to Bernie Champion. Very similar, just kind of community. So that's been good.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's interesting. That's, you know, and for our listeners that may not be familiar with the San Antonio, greater San Antonio area, metro area, Bernie, first of all, Bernie is spelled B-O-E-R-N-E. That's probably one of the very first things where you can tell a local from a non-local, right? But but also, you know, Bernie is located in the kind of far northwest part of the greater San Antonio area. Very, very beautiful area, part of the Hill Country area. So in speaking of Bernie and Bernie Champion, what it's like there, kind of give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, when you're kind of in the hot seat there, you're managing expectations at a, you know, regional and state power. What has that been like for you?
Well, I'm really fortunate to have a tremendous athletic director, Stan Leach. He is so supportive, and, you know, wants number one for us to treat the kids right and to treat families right. And that's the most important thing. I think all of us that are not head football coaches, you know, can feel a little bit of comfort, not feeling like our job is going to be on the line if we lose a game or anything like that. So we can, just do the best that we can. And we know that we're going to have support behind us. And like I said, just treating people right. And so it's been, I think a lot of the pressure more than anything probably comes from myself. And that's something that, you know, as a coach, you do have to work through and grow through is, you know, what are your expectations for yourself? And, how do you get to a point where you feel comfortable, like you've done everything that you can do and you know that you're doing the best that you can do. And I think when you do that, that's the best thing that you can do for yourself as a coach is to self-evaluate, because there's going to be always people who are going to criticize or question the decisions that you're making. And, you know, not all the decisions that you make are going to be right. You know, we're just human. We're just like the players. And so, not everybody is going to give you grace for mistakes that you make, but you as a coach have to give yourself grace and know, again, at the end of the day, if you're doing everything that you can do and you're trying to develop your players as people on and off the field and, you know, you're just doing the best you can, then that's all you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you talk about the pressures of the head football coach, but yeah, so I'm glad to hear that you're not coming home after a big an unfortunate loss and there's for sale signs in your front yard of your house or something
right.
like that.
So, no.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good to hear. As we kind of transition here, Coach Walters, what can you tell us as far as, you play in a very, very tough district, you know, with realignment now, 26-5A. There's some very strong programs in that district.
It's like a meat grinder. I don't even know. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
You know, and just to name a few, you know, you have New Braunfels Canyon, you have Elmo Heights, you have Dripping Springs. I mean, you know, for those of you that are familiar, you know, those programs should sound very familiar to you because they're well coached. They're exceptional programs with great traditions, great pedigree for sure. So with that said, Coach, what can you tell us as far as what can we expect out of the Bernie Champion Chargers this year?
Well, we're still so young because we did. I think last year was the biggest turnover as far as a starting lineup I've ever experienced as a coach. And we are, even though we have returning players, this is just like a totally different, a totally new team this year. And so we're still putting it together. And
you graduated how many? Was it nine?
12.
12. Oh, wow.
12. Okay. Yes. I mean, we had, we had players that went on to, Ashlyn Fulgham went to, is playing at Columbia. Taylor Whelan, our goalkeeper, went to Belmont. And some of the players went on, like Elle Schrader went to Pepperdine to run cross country. We had Lane Bowley's running track at BYU. I mean, we just had some really phenomenal athletes. And so there was this big question mark going into this year, like what's going to happen? And I've been really, really, I was really so happy with how we played in the preseason because, you know, we just kind of, you know, put a brand new 11 on, you know, and it I have full confidence that it's going to work. We're still tweaking and trying to find that magic, you know, the 11 that play the best together and where they play and moving players around. And so we're still putting things together, but I'm really, really encouraged and excited about where we are headed. And we had a tough game last week against Canyon, and we lost 1-0. They scored on a corner kick in the first minute and a half of the game. And then we went, you know, scoreless through the rest of the 78 minutes. And so that was tough, but also it was good to go, okay, well, you know, and when we knew that this was going to be a challenging season, and I feel really good moving forward. You know, it's just going to be a matter of, okay, how quickly can we get the chemistry to continue to build and grow and get all on the same page. You know,
right. And to give listeners an idea as to, you know, how long Bernie Champion's been kind of, for lack of better words, either dominating or have had a stronghold on the district, not to rub salt in the wound, coach, but that was the first district loss in a while, wasn't it? Or I thought I saw something.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Terrence Thomas, for pointing that out in his numbers this week. I know I saw that. And
shout out to Terrence Thomas.
Oh, man. I don't even.
Shout out to Terrence.
Yeah. He's 52 games, I guess. The first loss in 52 district games. And so that was a tough pill to swallow and, you know, not what you want to read, but it's also just a good reminder of where we need to be. And I've always felt like, you know, adversity early in the season can be a good thing when it brings the right amount of humility and focus. And I think that we have that. You know, we have the players' attention. You know, this is not going to be a cakewalk. And I told them, you know, after the game, like, you know, because you've got all these players that, you know, oh, she plays for this team, or I play with her at ODP, or, right, you know, this, right, and that, and everybody, right, knows everybody and stuff. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, nobody cares if you're ECNL, ECRL, or ODP, or, you know, play for the, you know, and MLS team, you know, is like, we have to go out and play, and, you know, we have to, right, be able to execute, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. And let the record show, I was not the one that dropped Terrence Thomas's name. It was Coach Walters. No, he does tremendous work down there. So I miss him. Yeah. So, all right, coach. Well, hey, I know you're going to stick around with us. We're going to bring you back for our next segment, our counterattack segment, where we get to pick on you a little bit, have some fun with you. So for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. And welcome back to the 50-50 podcast presented by Physical Athletics, our proud partners, Physical Athletics. You can check them out on social media, on all social media platforms, I should say. at Physical Athletic. That's F-Y-Z-I-C-A-L and singular athletic. And you can also check them out on their website at physicalathletics.com. All right, so we're back with Coach Walters, Coach Carol Walters, head varsity women's soccer coach of the Bernie Champion Chargers. All right, so now we're going to transition onto our counterattack segment. So this is kind of rapid fire, Coach. We ask questions and you fire away right back. We kind of try to, it's kind of impromptu, and we just go. You ready?
I'm so nervous about this, but yes.
No, you'll do fine. You'll do fine. All right, first one. Any pregame as a coach now, right? Obviously, it's a little different when you're a player, but as a coach, any pregame and or postgame rituals that you have?
You know, I don't think that. I think every game is different. And as a coach, especially like when you're doing home games, I mean, you are doing a checklist and a double checklist. And have I done this? Have I done that? Is this ready? Is that ready? You know, and so pregame rituals are really more about, am I prepared? Do I have everything in my bag that I need to have and that kind of thing? And of course, I got to always just take a couple minutes to breathe, you know, and to focus and try to calm my own brain and nerves as well, just like the players do. As far as post game, though, I don't think, you know, there's anything really. I think, well, I would say post game is usually a little bit of debriefing with my husband, who's my biggest supporter, and right, kind of going through, you know, and he'll always ask, well, you know, well, what, you know, I noticed you did this, what were you thinking here, you know, with this change or whatever. And so I get to just kind of break it down a little bit in a non-threatening environment with my husband.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say that can get a little dangerous sometimes, right? Depending upon the results. Yeah. All right. So that kind of segues me into my second question. So what's one moment or one item of equipment or something that maybe you forgot for a game, anything that happened that came up one time? Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah. I think at some point I've forgotten everything. I mean, I remember getting to St. Mary's Hall one time without a bag of balls, you know, and Coach Kastner, of course, you know, helped me out and made me feel better and by telling me that he had done the same thing. So I'm thinking like, I am a total loser, you know, just a camera, you know, tripod, you know, and of course anything that the players end up asking for. I could bring a foam roller to every game, but the one game I don't bring it, you know, somebody's going to need that foam roller or whatever. So exactly. Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly how it goes. Yep. Okay. So, if not soccer, what's another sport that you would have coached?
I've had to do assistant coaching gigs along the way. And when I was at Brandeis, I was assistant for tennis. When I was at Jay, I was assistant for softball. When I was at Sachs, I did sixth grade volleyball. So I've done a little bit of those sports. So I know enough, just enough, you know, to be dangerous, but, you know, it's always been soccer as the number one.
Right. Right. Smart woman. All right. okay. So what about, so obviously you've done all of that. You've coached multiple sports. You're, you know, professional soccer coach and an educator, but if not all of that, what's another profession you would have done if not any of those?
You know, I just have had so many ideas over my whole life for like small businesses. And I think I think it's a dream that will always be there, just to be an entrepreneur of some kind. And, you know, and I've had some good ideas that actually, like, I remember in high school, not high school, in college, like thinking about, man, it would be great if they had a gym that was open 24 hours a day. And like, you could go in and, you know, like I've had these ideas, and then I watched these people do these, and I'm like, man, you know, could be a millionaire. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So obviously here we are 10 months now into the pandemic. And I'm sure you've had the opportunity to kind of binge watch on a number of series, whether they be Netflix or what have you. But what's been the favorite one that you've been able to binge watch during the pandemic?
Oh my gosh, Vikings! Vikings. I'm only on season 3 right now, but I think.
How many seasons?
I think it has 6 seasons there. And I think my husband is a big Nebraska fan. His family's from Nebraska. And so we follow the Cornhuskers and everything. And he's always on their social media. And I think there's a strength and conditioning coach from Nebraska who was posting a lot of, things from memes or something, you know, from the show. And so my husband was like, we got to check this out. And we are just totally hooked. So we usually watch an episode or two every night right now.
Nice. That's originally on History Channel, right?
History Channel. Yes. History Channel.
Okay. Is it still ongoing? Is it still active? Or is it done?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's
fascinating. And it's one of those where you're like, and you know, you watch this stuff and you're like, did that really happen? You know, and you're Googling through, you know, half the show, like, you know, and trying to find out more about it, because it is really fascinating. And a lot of it, I mean, we've been, you know, really surprised, like, wow, that really did happen, you know? So it's a really cool show.
Right. Yeah. That's one that I've kind of come across multiple times. It looks very good, looks intriguing, but it's, you know, it's kind of like how a lot of us often get. It's like, okay, I don't want to start that yet. I want to wait till later where I can, you know, so, and I just have never started it. So yeah, I'm going to have to take you up on that one. All right. Next one. So favorite and least favorite soccer team, soccer club, professional, college, you know, obviously you can't say Bernie champion, you know, so favorite and least favorite.
Least favorite. I'm not even going to go there. I don't want to stir the pot that
nobody that wants way. To answer that question. Nobody wants to answer.
Yeah, that's not nice. That's not nice. and that may change season to season, right? Like depending, yeah. I mean, when you're coaching. Yeah. As far as favorite, I don't watch a lot of soccer on TV just because I have so many interests and hobbies and other things in my life that I try to fit in. So I don't like to just sit in front of the TV for hours and hours, you know, on the weekend, but I do like when I get a chance to watch Liverpool play and Man City, of course, you know, and just see some of those teams and the changes in systems and coaching, you know, staffs that come in and stuff like that. That's kind of interesting. Of course, I do keep up with the U.S. Women's National Team and love watching that and promoting that those games with my girls and trying to get them to watch more games.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, now what about, so non-soccer, any other sport? All right, professional, college again. Favorite and least favorite team. Do you have any?
Well, we, you know, like I said, we're Cornhusker fans, and so they've been struggling since they were a powerhouse in the 90s a little bit, but we still watch all the Husker football games and support them. So for favorite, I guess it would be them. Of course, you know, being from San Antonio, the Spurs are top of the list. And then least favorite, again, as a San Antonian, you know, Lakers are pretty far down on that list.
You make me proud. You made me proud. Because, and here's the reason why, is like, if you ever get a chance, because I know you're a diehard supporter of the 50-50 podcast, go back and listen to all those. There's a few episodes in here where I've had like now three Lakers fans, you know, to the point where I was ready to just shut off the podcast and kick them out, you know. So, you know, and I told them, I was like, you know, I was like, no, nah, I'm a Spurs fan. So, you know, and I'm expecting, you know, football, American football or something, and somehow they come out with Lakers. So that was a bit surprising. So I'm glad to be in the company of great, you know, great company in another Spurs fan. I like that. All right, next one. Hidden talent, secret talent, something you do that maybe a lot of people don't know about, maybe even your teams, your players, you know, secret talent.
Like I said, I have a lot of hobbies. So like I just have a creative side that I need to tap into. Away from school, away from soccer. And so I really do anything from like woodworking to, to crocheting, to like, you know, crafts and gardening and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I just, I piddle. Is piddling a talent? Because I piddle with the best of them.
It is. For Spurs fans, only for San Antonio Spurs fans it is. So, all right. Okay. So here's a different one for you. See if you can recall this. So the most random thought you can recall you had during a game, while you're coaching a game, just you're in the middle of coaching a game and just a completely off the wall, random non-soccer thought just enters your brain.
Let me think.
That you can share.
Right. I think that I will sometimes get distracted, you know, on these beautiful South Texas evenings, you know, when the sun's setting and you can be on the field and there's this great, phenomenal game going on, and you know, you can just look up and see this pink sunset, you know, or ducks flying over or something, and it just kind of like stops you for a second, you know, and you're just like, wow, you know. And then I'm always reminded, like, that's one of the great things about this profession is that we get to, you know, witness, just to be outside and be able to witness some beautiful things outside in nature, you know, that people who work in offices all the time don't always get to experience. Of course we get, you know, 30 degree weather and rain too, but you know, it balances out.
It's a good trade-off. Exactly. All right. Yeah. Okay. Next one for you. Dog or cat person, and why?
I think dog person. And I used to be a cat person. But I have a 16, almost 17 year old cat, and I'm kind of over cats and their mess and their crying and whining.
Yeah, I hear you. Good. Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you with the cats. I'm definitely a dog person myself. So, all right. Okay, so here's the one that I ask everybody. So post-pandemic, you have family in town, you know, husband's family's in town. You're the chef. What are you cooking for everybody?
Chili and cornbread.
Nice. Nice. All right. Okay. All right. You have a world famous recipe or something?
You know, I will tell you, I've been making this recipe for, I don't know, at least 15 years. But if you Google all American chili, I think I first found the recipe like when it was actually in like oh, it's a magazine. I can't remember the magazine, but it wasn't Southern Foods or something. Anyway, but now you can just, you know, Google it. And I've been making that recipe for so long, and it's my favorite one. And that's one of my, I just love, especially like you said, but you have people over. It's great to have potted chili. And I said cornbread, but then we have Fritos and cheese on the side, you know, because this is Texas or.
Right. Yeah. No explanation necessary. I know. I hear you. All right. Awesome. Well, Coach Walters, this has been great. Again, she is Coach Kara Walters, the head varsity women's soccer coach at Bernie Champion. You tell us, and you have any games that you want to plug that you all are taking part in this week?
Oh, we have a big week coming up. We go to Dripping Springs on Tuesday, and so we have an away game there. And then on Friday we have Alamo Heights at home. And
Yeah,
it is a big week. So we're hoping to have a big home crowd as much as we can on Friday against Heights, because that's always a big rivalry game.
Right, right. Awesome. Yeah, well, this has been great, Coach. Any final words for our listeners, or anything as far as where can we get more information on Bernie Champion, social media, where can we find more info on you all?
Yeah, we try to keep, you know, things, people posted on Twitter. I think it's We Are Champion Soccer. I don't remember the exact the handle. We do have a Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. And so we try to keep people aware of what's going on those. And I can't let you go though without telling you or your listeners just the amazing, incredible job you did a few years ago for me when we were going into the playoffs and I couldn't scout a game because I think we had a first round game or something going on and I needed to get a scouting report. And I thought, who can I call that is just, you know, just passionate enough about the game and knowledgeable that can give me like a really good scouting report. So of course, you know, I call you up.
So once you couldn't find anybody, you settled for me, right?
Well, I must have been onto something because that scouting report you gave me was probably the most like professionally done scouting reports I've ever seen. And I mean, even my players were just like, wow, this is amazing. I mean, it just really set the bar so high. That was just one of the things that sticks out in my mind about you whenever I think about you is, man, that scouting report was so well done and so thorough. And you are passionate about the game. I've always loved that about our conversations is, you know, we could just talk soccer forever. So thank you for that. And, you know, I know you're doing great things out in El Paso. And I love following and seeing what's going on with you and your players and stuff. And there was a girl on your show. Well, I don't know if she was on your show that I saw. There was a Twitter account, and I don't know if she's one of your players that I sent out to my players because she's doing a phenomenal job promoting herself in the recruiting process. Do you know who I'm talking about?
It wasn't Skylar Sheldon by chance, was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's who it was. Okay. Yes. Yes. Man, you know, so like in following your stuff and the stuff that you're posting, you know, I mean, I came across that and was like, man, you know, I sent that to my players and said, you know, you need to look at what this girl is doing because she's really taking ownership for her own recruitment. And it's phenomenal. So anyway, so you just continue to educate me and, you know, keep me in the loop of all the latest. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, she's, you know, Skylar. Skylar's actually out of Peoria, Arizona. You know, they're in the greater Phoenix area, plays for Liberty High School. And I can't recall the club she plays for off the top of my head, but tremendous kid, great student athlete, a leader, right? And in terms of, yeah, taking the reins of the onus, right, of the college recruiting process and just being engaged in social media. And of course, you know, it helps. I mean, she's a heck of an athlete, heck of a soccer player as well. So yeah, no, I'm glad we're able to help. And, you know, think about how bad I would have felt with that scouting report had you all, you know, I gave you that information and you guys would have lost. I was like, oh my God, all the pressure was on me. All the pressure was on me. So
well, you did a good job.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Well, Coach Walters, thank you for your time. This has been great. You gave us a lot of really great info. Personally, it's always a blast to be able to speak with you. You know, you're doing a tremendous job out there at Bernie Champion. I wish you and your program, you know, continued success, the best of luck this season. I know you have a young squad, but I know you're going to, you know, the reality of it is we know you don't, your program, you guys don't, you know, the saying of they don't rebuild, they reload. I think it really, it kind of applies to your program, but I know they'll be in good hands, with you leading the way. So we wish you the best of luck and thank you again for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. And for our listeners, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short word from our sponsors.